Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Six Rings and Football Things. It is a Friday. We're going to timestamp this because it is being sent out live as well as recorded for our podcast friends that like to listen anytime they want on the Odyssey app or their various podcast providers, which I need to delve into. By the way, this is Andy Hart alongside Mike Cadlick, WEEI.com. We've got a Pat's Paris edition of the Six Rings podcast. We're going to talk some pro days, some prospects, some players talking to the media, some of the new signees, which has been, I don't know about for you, Mike, a weird existence for me because I keep thinking my email is effed up when the Patriots send out like, Patriots re-sign Kendrick Bourne. And I'm like, yeah, wasn't that like a month ago or something? Right. Is my email delayed?
No, but they just, it's all official. Once pen's right to paper, that's when they have to send pen it out logistically.
Pen is to paper and then faces to Zoom to meet the media and answer some questions. So we'll delve into Austin Hooper and KJ Osborne, who I think needs to go by Oscorp. I'm going to push that. I want him to be Oscorp. I think that should be his like nickname or something. Right. But before we get into that, the news of the day, if you're listening live, I think is basically Mark Kaminsky says, where did everybody go? Well, we're right here, Mark. I don't know where you've been. Where are you? We're here. Ask a question. And we are live on Twitter and all those various social media platforms. So if you're listening live, feel free to enter the chat and ask a question. We can also do an impromptu mailbag. But we're going to start with, I won't say the most controversial quarterback in the draft, because we're going to get to that guy. And I think that guy's name is Drake May suddenly. Yeah. But J.J. McCarthy, pro day, Michigan. Patriots, I think, entire
They're loaded up.
Staff, everybody's there. And not just to see him. Michigan has a lot of prospects, obviously. But
the most Michigan had the most prospects invited to the scouting combine this year. So
they got some talent, you know, national I don't know if you heard they won the national title. Yeah. So they got some talent. But starting with JJ McCarthy, who for a while, I want to say was the 6th prospect on the quarterback board. Then everybody like me. And if you remember when we did the Six Rings quarterback podcast, I said, I don't want to like him, but I kind of started to like JJ McCarthy.
Yep.
Obviously, Harbaugh has absolutely been his hype man, talking him up any opportunity he's gotten across college and pro football now. And J.J. McCarthy holding his pro day. J.J. McCarthy, who could now be the 4th pick in the draft after the Williams, Daniels, May trio. We could go 4 straight quarterbacks, I believe, for the first time in the history of the NFL draft. And I wonder, is J.J. McCarthy that good? Because I think you can make an argument that he brings a lot of skills to the table, and that I think the argument his camp is making is that the offense that he played in, the conference that he played in, they played a certain conservative run-based style that didn't necessarily call for him to put on a QB show week in and week out, and that he has a stronger arm than you think. He has more off-platform throwing ability, creative playmaking than you think. And so I guess my simple question to you, Mike Cadlick, and the listeners, if anybody wants to chime in other than where did everybody go, Mark Kaminsky? How good is J.J. McCarthy? Is he really worth a top? I won't say top 4. Is he really worth a top 10 pick in the NFL draft?
I don't you know, I don't think he is. Like, looking from a 30,000 foot view, I don't think JJ McCarthy is a top 10 pick in any draft. Like, I think we're banking on a lot of what ifs with him. Like you said, he has the intangibles. He's a winner. He went 27-1 at Michigan. He led a team. He wasn't a captain because he wasn't allowed to be a captain. I was looking that up the other day when I was doing something on him for WEEI.com. Was not a captain, but was called a leader by center Zach Sinster, which, I mean, obviously he's the quarterback. You got to be a leader. I guess they don't name underclassmen captains in Ann Arbor, which makes sense.
I like it.
But regardless, it's a lot of intangibles, a lot of what if. He's a great off-platform thrower. He obviously didn't put up the numbers that you'd expect from a top 10 pick, but you know, he's got the size. He has the throwing ability. I saw when they do fastest throw at the combine, he was up there with Joe Milton. He was up there in like the top five ever
yep.
for just like fastest pinpoint dart throws. And I didn't really know he even had that in his arsenal. So it's
I think it's Josh Allen, Joe Milton, and JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
That's the company.
Right. And so there's a lot of, hey, you know, quarterback gurus, quarterback guys, quarterback coaches kind of being like, I can work with that. I can make that work. You know, I can put all this together and he's going to work for our system. So I think his ceiling's pretty high and I think his floor is pretty low, you know, if he can end up putting it all together. But long story short, no, I don't think he's, you know, worth a top 10 pick. But in the quarterback climate that we're in 2024 and how important it is to a team's success, you know, teams get, you know, trigger happy and they want to go up and get the guy and they want to, you know, they want to go do it. Because you need it and you need it to win your Super Bowl. So if he turns into something, which he very well may, you know, we're all going to be proven wrong. But, you know, to answer your question, I think it's a little bit of a reach. But at this point, it seems like he's definitely going to be, you know, in the top 10, if not the top five.
Okay, so let me flip the question on its ear because it's interesting. I think we are trigger shy in New England because Mac Jones. And right. is he worth a first round pick? Is he worth whatever, you know, the whole roller coaster? He had second, third round talent, but he gets pushed up and the intangibles and.
Well, then you're also taking the fifth quarterback at 15. And it's like, you could get right. the best, second best, third best corner at this point, or you get the right. fifth. Like it's yeah. Right.
So all of that debate. And I do think we have, again, like recency bias in this debate to some degree. And a lot of teams have ridden this roller coaster over the years. Like, oh, I need a quarterback. Do I want the fourth or fifth best right. quarterback early? But to me, I'll flip the question around. Why isn't he worth a top half? I'll say top half of the first round pick because you mentioned it, record, leadership, success, arm strength, athletic ability, whatever else you want to list. He has, and I do buy into. And we talk about this with Caleb Williams. I've never had dinner with him, never spoken with him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would trust him to put in all the hours to not be Kyler Murray. So I have to write into his contract that he actually has to like do homework and study yeah. film, not be Michael Vick and just try to get by on pure athletic ability and playmaking. I think JJ McCarthy is going to work. I think he has a chip on his shoulder. I think okay. he will put in the hours and I think he'll be a pain in the ass. If he's behind a quarterback, I think he'll be a pain in the ass for that veteran quarterback. If he gets to a place where, let's say Minnesota, where like he's kind of leaned on to probably play right away. Mm-hmm. I think he is going to be motivated to prove people that say, oh, he's a reach or he shouldn't be drafted that high wrong. And prove, by the way, his college head coach, Wright, who really right. has put himself out there. I mean,
He called him the best quarterback in the class.
Right. So he may or may not be that. Like, well, time will tell, whatever. Sure. But the fact that that's out there and just my perception of him from some interviews and some, I think he's going to be arguably the most motivated quarterback in this class. And you mix that with his raw talent, and that's probably a good combination.
So I just look at it, you know, what your sort of prompt there was is why isn't he a top 15 pick and why wouldn't you go with him? And I just think that there is more surefire talent at the fourth pick, the fifth pick, the sixth pick, right? Like there's Marvin Harrison Jr. There's Roma Dunze. There's Dallas Turner, the DN from Bama. There's cornerbacks and, you know, Terry and Arnold and guys like that, where there's such low, you know, there's a lot lower floors there. So like a team like Denver or a team like we're talking Minnesota right now, or the Giants, right? Like they can still continue to add to their roster with players that you're more confident are going to be, you know, top tier talented players. And then you can potentially bring in a quarterback, you know, next year you can bring in the veteran, or you can lean on Sam Darnold or Jarrett Stidham for a season. And of course that's not pretty, and that's not what, you know, fans, and that's not what organizations want to do. But I just think if you swing and miss on Dallas Turner, it's first of all, it's a lot less likely that that's going to happen, but it also doesn't, like, it doesn't deter you a lot. Like, it doesn't deter you less, I guess, than if you take JJ McCarthy, you put all your resources into JJ McCarthy, you put it all in on JJ McCarthy, and then he stinks, right? So that's kind of the way I see it. And I agree with you. I like the intangibles. I think he's good. I think he will probably end up being a solid player, but I still think the floor is, you know, the floor is low there. And if he doesn't put it all together, then it's probably going to be a disaster for any team that takes him.
So one more question to bring this to Patriot, because it is Pat's Puri.
It is. Not
other team Puri, because that would be a weird word.
NFL Puri?
NFL Puri. Eh. I mean, I guess it's only slightly weirder than Pat's Puri. But anyway, from a
Patriot. Is that a you or a Fitzy Pat's Puri?
That's a me.
Yeah, I figured as much.
That's a me. Yeah. If it's good, it's me. If it's not, it's Fitzy.
Headline.
That's how we do it around here. So to factor in sort of the other or factor in the Patriots in a trade down situation, because I do think them being at Michigan is about all the talent, first of all, but is also about being aware generally of what JJ McCarthy is, how his value is going to affect the draft, but also could be about, well, if the Vikings offer us 11, 23 and a future one, can we get JJ McCarthy at 11? Feels like no. Now I'm just reading it. Feels like no. But would we want him? What is the drop off between Drake May and JJ McCarthy, if there even is one? So would you consider that operation where you trade down to add capital? Jake McCarthy, JJ, I've called him Jake.
Jake,
him
JoJo. JoJo.
JJ McCarthy is Jimmy your quarterback. McCarthy. You're picking again at 23, and you added a first round pick for next year. So in theory, you took your franchise quarterback. You're taking either your franchise tackle or franchise wide receiver at 23. You're still picking at 34, and you have two first round picks next year, both of which could be top 10 picks.
So I've been of the mindset of no. I've been of load up now and kick the can down the road. But I think the way you just put it kind of convinced me otherwise. Because again, I do like JJ McCarthy.
It was the tone, right? The way I made it sound.
Yeah, you made it sound awesome. And the way you called him, you know, Jim Bob McCarthy or whatever. And so, no, but look, I don't know. I don't want to hitch my wagon to JJ McCarthy in the first round. That's kind of my thing with him. And will I be proven wrong? Obviously, like you said, we're going to have to wait and see. But no, I think if you do trade out, I think you load up for whatever top tier talented quarterback you can get next year with the two first round picks you have. I think you need to take a receiver or a tackle at 11. I think you need to pick a receiver or a tackle at 23. And then at 34, you kind of have your pick of the litter. Maybe at that point you take Michael Penix. Like, honestly, I still think I put Michael Penix a little bit over JJ McCarthy on my list. I do. I think he's a baller. I think he's a lot more clutch. He has a stronger arm. He's more accurate. He's obviously a little bit less athletic. JJ can move around a little bit. Penix has had the injury history, but the medicals right now say he's okay. So I would rather take Michael Penix at 34 than JJ McCarthy at 11, to answer your question.
Okay. I would not. If I didn't take a top three quarterback, so that'll transition us. I wrote the column today. I know Phil Perry jumped on the bandwagon. We're going to get into all our Drake May talk. But if I don't take Drake May at 3, JJ McCarthy, Jonathan James, by the way, I looked it up. Jonathan James McCarthy for the friends and family. JJ McCarthy would be my next pick. I think he has the best shot of the non-big three, non-top three. You know I'm not a Knicks guy on any level. Knicks has all the stats, by the way. He's sort of the anti-JJ McCarthy because there's a lot of people that just look at numbers and are like, why is Bo Nix not a top three quarterback? Look at his numbers. Look at this. All of you. Yeah, he's not that good. And Michael Penix can frickin' zip it down the field. Pretty ball. I've I always use the same comparison. If I just wanted to watch somebody throw a football, it would be Michael Penix. But if I wanted somebody to lead me to victory, win games for me, I don't
go to a national championship and win every game besides one. I'll take Michael Penix.
Who won the game?
Shut up.
Well, I'll tell you who was not in the national championship. Mm-hmm. That was Drake May. But I'm still quite comfortable with him. We had some local audio this week playing My Side of the Street because it has been a back and forth on Drake May. Dan Orlovsky, he needs to sit for like 2 years. Chris Sims, oh, he's the sixth best quarterback in the draft. And now you have Tim Hasselbeck, not Matt, but Tim, another NFL backup quarterback from the famed New England local area Hasselbeck family. To me, went over the top, like, I'm not even sure the May family and friends would do, but said Drake May is the might be the best QB prospect he has evaluated in his 15 years. He puts him up there with the Andrew Lux or whoever else you want to throw in that. Josh Allen, he mentioned. So I don't know that I'm willing to go quite that far on my desire for Drake May, but I'm glad he brought a little balance to some of the negativity. I think Merrill Hodge is also a
he's a negative, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has a decent track record. That kind of scares me a bit.
He has a decent track record. Now, I don't know his whole track record. I'd like to know that because to me, Merrill Hodge and some of these guys feel like, because we did it with Ben McAdoo too, when he hired, I forgot who he liked so-and-so, he liked so-and-so. And you're like, okay, but tell me all of his opinions.
He was just all over Patrick Mahomes. That was the big McAdoo thing.
Okay, great. And we all have hits and we also all have misses.
Right.
And I compare that to the Floyd Money Mayweather, who loved to put out on social media his winning bet slips, but you never see the losing bet slips. You never see those. So the conversation, the latest recency bias I'm going to take from WEEI exclusive audio is Drake May's awesome. We also have more and more, I guess, brush fires of Jaden Daniels is going to the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is the pick at two. After Caleb Williams goes to the Bears, because he had his pro day yesterday and that was great and all that, blah, blah, blah. So for here and now, we're still 5 weeks away. This could change dramatically. I'm going to say it's accepted that Drake May is on the board when the Patriots pick number three overall. I think you run up with the card that says Drake May 100%. On it. You live and die by Drake May. We all get to start all the Drake related or May related headlines. You
jokes
know,
are like, so ridiculous with you and Giardi.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It is funny.
Patriots have a hit with Drake or whatever you want to do. We can go music, tape, make all the various, and then all the Mays, May Day in Foxborough. He may be a bust. He may not. There's a million of them.
Maybe a bust. I like that one. May not be a bust.
He may not be. And that's where I am. Like, if, and I wrote this column basically this morning. If I'm Elliot Wolf, I know I'm putting my career on the line. And yet I'm putting my career on the line because he's good enough to risk it. He's not a sure thing. So there's some risk involved, but it's the risk you have to take because of where you are. You stink. You're a top five pick team. You don't have a quarterback. You, in my mind, can't throw Jacoby Brissett on the Gillette Stadium turf 17 times next year. Well, not 17 times at Gillette, but the NFL turf 17 times. You need a quarterback, and I think one with legitimate greatness as upside is going to be on the board at number three.
I couldn't agree more. I think, frankly, I think Washington is making a mistake if they take Jaden Daniels over Drake May. I really do. I think Drake May is going to be a very, very, very good football player in this league. Ooh, and
three berries.
Yeah. And the discourse around him is kind of getting ridiculous right now. I read your column this morning. It's the paralysis by analysis. It's almost like the time between the last time these guys play and the actual NFL draft is way too long. People do way too much analysis. They do way too much thinking. They do way too much watching tape and rewatching tape. And I'm not saying, you know, the tape tells the truth. Tape doesn't lie, obviously. But like at the same time, you can look at a play 18 different times and find three things right and three. And it's like the guy's a good football player. Take him and build him out. Like, and I don't agree with Orlovsky that he has to sit 2 years. Like, I think, you know, you might want to sit him down and get him, you know, get him right. And that's what you're going to have with Jacoby Brissett. But like, I don't think he's a complete, like Mitch Trubisky came in and started 12 college games. Like that was going to be a project. I don't think Drake May is a project. I think I've seen people saying it's the next Mac Jones. Drake May is not Mac Jones. Drake May has a stronger arm. Mac might be a little more accurate, but Drake May's arm is a lot stronger. You can fit it into tighter windows. He can move a lot better. Like, this guy's a really, like, again, I'm going to say it again, a really, 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 was it really, 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 or very, 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 whatever it was.
All of it.
He's an awesome football player. Take him and grow with him. Like, I just, I don't, and I, when I tweeted out the Hasselbeck quote yesterday about Drake May, a lot of Washington Commanders football accounts retweeted it. And I was curious, as you know, maybe this is a discourse in Washington right now too. Who do we take? What should we do? They want Drake May, but it seems like they're going in the Jaden Daniels direction. So yeah, I'm with you. I think Washington's making a mistake if they pass on him, and I would probably still take Jaden Daniels at three if I'm the Patriots. But as of right now, sitting here on, we're going to timestamp it again, March 22nd, I think Drake May is a better player than Jaden Daniels. I think he's going to be better. And you absolutely have to take him at pick number three if he's sitting there.
And I'm going to harken back again to the Six Rings quarterback pod we did, because I'm assuming people have listened to it now if they want to listen to it. So it's not like I'm giving a, you know, spoiler alert.
Right.
I started out this whole process as Drake May being my guy, and then kind of talked myself into Jaden Daniels and the modern QB and Lamar and the whole idea. And then I was like, no, stick with your gut, especially if he's there. Because I would take Jaden Daniels third, too. If May goes two, I think you take Jaden Daniels.
Sure.
But I think Drake May, and I'm glad you brought it up. There's two things. First of all, Pat Stats chimes in with the whole argument that he played in the SEC is weak. And that's like, I don't care. Like, Josh Allen played in the, I don't know where Josh, Wyoming, whatever the conference they're in.
Big West or whatever the heck that is.
Like, quarterbacks come from everywhere, and the ACC is not the NESCAC. It's big-time college football. As he articulates, some of the best prospects in this draft come from the ACC. It's not the SEC. I understand that. But guess what? If he was in the SEC, as somebody else mentioned, like at LSU, he would have had a lot more talent around him to work with as well.
Exactly.
So that's part of that whole equation with Mac Jones and Joe Burrow and all
these guys. 100%. We talk about the LSU wide receivers every freaking day, and Neighbors and Brian Thomas Jr. That's who Jaden Daniels was throwing to. That's who he threw 40 touchdowns to this past season.
And then the other thing, this like idea that he's got to sit and he's so raw. Like, no. He has been a high-level quarterback prospect for 2 years of college football. You don't generally get too much more than that. Yeah, there's guys that are like a third, but that's a lot. That's not Mitch Trubisky and Zach Wilson winning the job and then having a senior year and then all of a sudden taking the draft by storm. And when I look at him, Trey Lance was a project. He was basically A, it was low level of football. B, he was basically a running back that sort of played the quarterback position. Drake May is a quarterback. Drake May is an athlete. Drake May is, I keep going back to it. If you're just going to, I said this to Phil Perry on TV the other night when I welcomed Phil to the Drake May train, the hype train. Drake May physically, and now this is going to get stupid, but like physically, to me, the comps are Josh Allen, John Elway,
Justin Herbert. Like
Justin Herbert, but I don't, I think he's a better runner than Herbert is.
Yeah.
You're talking, because there's not that many guys that are 6'4", 240, the arm, the running ability, the whole package. I also joked that there's another one in this draft, and his name is Joe Milton, and I'm not sure we want to take him
super early.
But these guys are physical freaks. Doesn't mean they're going to succeed. You know, Josh Allen could have been a bust. He had bust written all over
him.
He had risk-reward balance, the whole thing. And now he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, most physically gifted. And that's where I bring in your boy. And I don't know why I'm calling him your boy.
Here we go.
Alex Van Pelt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's my boy. I'll be boys with Alex Van Pelt.
Okay. You're going to get a guy that is kind of raw. Like has some, isn't that your job? Isn't that why we pay you a good amount of money to cut? I know you didn't get Nick Caley money. You didn't maybe get $4 or $5 million, but you're making good money. You're a quarterback guru. You played it. He is, by the way, the only career backup quarterback that probably matters what his opinion is, not Hasselbeck or Orlovsky or Sims.
Right.
It's Alex Van Pelt, his opinion. And, you know, the cliche, like, you know, even diamonds need to be polished or even pearls need to be polished. Like,
That's
not finished.
And I look at like Drake May and this, he's not, and I said it earlier, but he's not raw. I just think he needs to dial in his decision-making a little bit. Like, you know, there are times where he tries to do too much and will throw across his body or throw one into the chest of a guy. And that was Josh Allen for the first 2 years of his career. Remember the stupid plays that guy made in the playoffs, in the regular season? He'd throw the ball behind him. He'd spin around and just chuck it in the middle. Like, you don't see that as much from Josh Allen. And, you know, you see it every so often. And, you know, of course, you kind of go back to your roots sometimes. But, like, that's the stuff that just needs to be taught out of him. And that's, like you said, you bring in Alex Van Pelt. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's what his job is going to be. You bring him into your system. You teach him the system. Jacoby Brissett is there for a couple games. And you work on, you know, this is what you do in this situation. If things get dicey here, you look here, you look here. You tuck it and run. You slide, you throw it away. Like, things like that. And that's the stuff you learn in an offense. And that's why it's important to have, and, you know, we talk about it. And we talked about it when Van Pelt got hired. It's like, well, why did they choose this guy? Why didn't they choose an up-and-comer and things like that? And, you know, the one positive we kind of found from it was that I don't think Alex Van Pelt's going to be out there searching for a head coaching job anytime soon. He's going to be around. If they have success, he'll probably stick around. So you can be in the same offense, Drake May, here with Alex Van Pelt for the next 5, 6, 7 years if they want. You use that rookie contract. And again, this is getting way too far down the line. But point being, I think he's ready to play if he can zone in and harken down on sort of the decision-making and the mistakes. And once he figures that out, I mean, he makes NFL plays right now. He makes throws that translate to the NFL. So I don't think there's raw talent. I think there's NFL translatable talent. He just needs to fix some of the, you know, the mental stuff.
Okay, I'm going to go off on somebody, and this isn't personal. I'm sure Chris Howarth is probably a nice person. No, he might be a douche. Guy? I have no idea. No, this is what's Allen won? Okay. Oh, like, to me, that question is the biggest pink hat, a-hole, I'm a douchebag giveaway. And no offense, Chris, you might be a nice person, that I've ever read. And when people say that, it makes me turn on them immediately. And I shouldn't. It's probably not fair. But that's how I look at that question. The spoiled Patriots fan view of, well, Brady went to 9 Super Bowls and won 6. So if you're not going to get me to winning a Super Bowl, you're not worth. Drew Bledsoe didn't win crap. And Drew Bledsoe was the second best quarterback. You learned it yourself. You said he was the man. And Joe Burrow hasn't won anything. Right. Josh Allen hasn't won anything. Pretty much everybody not named Patrick Mahomes hasn't and may not win anything because Patrick Mahomes is on a GOAT course. Two games have prevented Patrick Mahomes from already being anointed the greatest quarterback in the history of football. He has two games that he lost to a guy named Tom effing Brady that have kept that guy from being the greatest quarterback of all time. So if you don't think Dan Marino was a great quarterback, because guess how many Super Bowls he won, Chris Howarth? Zero. 0.0. And that mentality, if you want to just shoot for you only want a GOAT quarterback, then okay, don't take Drake May because I can't guarantee you he's a GOAT, just like I couldn't guarantee Patrick Mahomes was a GOAT when he went 10th overall. But if that's all you're looking for is a GOAT, then maybe just don't have a quarterback, I guess. Just I don't even – but I
Chris Hayworth did confirm in the chat that he is not a douche. So.
Oh, okay. I'll scroll back up. And I'm sorry that I'm – sorry that I'm going off on you, Chris, but this,
yeah, like you said, it's not personal. You're just using his point to jump off on something.
I hate it. Like, I would love what's more entertaining, what the Patriots have done the last 4 years, not the history Patriots. I said the last 4 years, or what the Bills or Bengals or whatever have done the last, and maybe those two guys. I happen to love what Burrow and Allen are two of my favorite players to watch in the NFL. I love them. They may never win. No. Mahomes doesn't need 8 rings. Check the history books. There's 2 games that changed history. Speckadez or whatever the hell your name is. 2 games. 2 effing games. How many Super Bowls does Mahomes have right now?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
3.
Okay. How many would he have if he beat Brady in the Super Bowl and he beat Brady in that AFC Championship game because he would have won the next goddamn game?
5.
5. How many Super Bowl rings does Brady have right now?
7.
How many does he have if he loses that goddamn game to Patrick Mahomes twice in the Super Bowl and the AFC title game?
5.
And if
that
they're
puts
tied
on par, Mahomes.
No. But if they're tied, Mahomes has 5 Super Bowls in 6 effing years as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. It took Brady 20-something to get 5. So Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time if he wins those 2 games. He didn't, because if my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle. I'm just telling you, 2 games prevented that guy from being the GOAT.
We have Andy fired up on a Friday afternoon.
You do, and I don't know why. I didn't expect this. I thought was, honestly, I'm going to be honest here to our listeners, because we're a community. We're all honest. I called the guy a douche. He knows he's not a douche. I don't take it personally. I'd probably love to have a beer and some wings with Chris Howarth. Maybe not. I might hate him 5 minutes in and be like, check, please.
Yeah. See ya. Wait, you were serious about the Allen comment? See you later.
But this podcast today, we were like, you know, we had a couple texts out to potential guests that blew us off. Screw them. They weren't ready to get yelled at, because this is how it would have gone. But like,
so yeah, like, oh, seriously, that would have been a bleep show if we got this Andy Hart with the guest we were going to have. Yep.
I think we would have had a guest maybe like log out and hang up mid show if we had had that for the first time. Ever. Yep. But so I like, we still should do a podcast today, even though they blew us off. We can do sort of a Pat's Parry, a mailbag, the whole thing. But it was kind of a filler podcast in my mind to fill in for what could have been, should have been, if the guy hadn't been a dink and actually replied. And now, like, I'm all fired up, and I kind of like where this podcast is going.
Yeah, so, here we go. And now Chris is having fun with us, because he just put a new chat in that said, what's Mahomes one? Which, that's
you know what that guarantees right there? That guarantees I would like to have a beer with
Chris. Yeah, because he's funny. Chris is a good guy. No, but I'm, you know, to jump off what you said about, again, Allen and Burrow, like, Burrow hasn't won a Super Bowl, Allen hasn't won a Super Bowl, but those guys have been, like, perennial playoff players, and they haven't been the reasons that their team lost Super Bowls, or reasons that, you know, like that 12-second game that everybody talks about between the Chiefs and the Bills, however many years ago. Like, Josh Allen did everything he could in that game to win it. He threw 4 touchdowns to Gabe Davis. He scored with, like, again, everyone talks about 12 seconds with the Chiefs. They went down and scored in like 30 seconds the drive before. And so Josh Allen's a stud. Like, we know that. And I just, you can't sit here and compare Drake May to Josh Allen and have people think it's a bad thing, because it's not. It's a very, 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 very good thing. Like, he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. And if you have that type of player on your team and you surround him with, you know, talent and good coaching, you're going to give yourself a real chance at winning the Super Bowl.
And I'm going to disagree with somebody else now. Maybe I'll just go the rest of the podcast, just disagree with
That's
comments.
That's why we called it a mailbag pod.
Where's the guy that, this is Drigo Arts FX says at Sports Unlimited. He's chatting with another person in the chat. Just saying May is nothing special. I couldn't disagree more. I think he truly is special. I think his physical combination of skills is truly special. Now the question is he a special NFL quarterback? That's the jump he needs to make from special talent to special quarterback. And somebody else said there's like 5 QBs and then 12 to 15 others. I agree. Yeah. And I want to be in the 5. I want to find a way to get myself into that top blue chip group, which right now is Mahomes, Burrow, Allen,
Herbert. I love Herbert. I think Herbert's up there. I'm sorry. I know his team.
Here's where I turn into Chris. What's Herbert ever won?
Oh, here we go. But like, that's a team. That's a guy who had an absolute dink as a former defensive coordinator, as his head coach, and has had a loaded roster. I'll give you that. But the coach has screwed them. And I was a Brandon Staley guy early in his LA tenure, but man, he screwed up that team mightily. So I do not put any of that on Justin Herbert.
Wow. He's got a good life. He's got like apologists like you that if they succeed, it'll be all him. And if he fails, well, it's somebody else's fault. It wasn't my problem. I'm not going to put that on him.
That's why I compare Drake May to Justin Herbert, because I think Justin Herbert's a stud.
I would take Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. At some point, I think he needs to start winning. Maybe it's the coach. Now, now he doesn't have the coach excuse, except now he might have the talent excuse.
Now he has no players. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Because they blew the first round pick last year on Quentin Johnston. Now they're looking for a receiver again early in the draft. Maybe they'll get one. But my point is, I'm looking to get in that conversation of elite quarterbacks, whatever that group is in any given year, because Lamar is the MVP. So we probably have to put him in there. For a while, people were talking about Jalen Hurts in that way. And then the shine kind of came off that the second half of the season. I mean, Deshaun Watson is supposed to be that guy, but I don't
even
know if he'll
ever. Even a guy like Dak Prescott is in there for a few weeks in the middle of the season every year. Like, right.
I want that guy. And the more often he's in that conversation, the better the franchise will be. But I absolutely believe that Drake May is a special talent. I think he is a special. There aren't a lot of quarterbacks ever made, ever. I'm not talking about in this draft class. I'm saying ever made that can do the types of things that Drake May could do. Could. I don't know if he will. Hope he will. Hope he does it in a Patriots uniform. Hope you can get that Patriots number 10 jersey and put some duct tape on it and write May across the top and forget about the Mac Jones era and take us to the next era. So
maybe they'll do a jersey trade in with the number 10s like they did with the Hernandez ones, where you can bring them to the pro shop and then they'll just like stitch May over Jones. That would
they
be
should. They should for like that. Well, for, I'm sure 50 you could
bucks.
Make money.
Yeah.
Probably like the thing that they do that panel probably costs them like $5.
Right.
So whatever you charge, 25, 35, 50 is all like profit. You have some person with a sewing machine in the back and bang those out.
Yeah, like right. Nothing. Like, is that a slap in the face to Mac Jones if they advertise it as that? Hey, bring in your Mac Jones jersey and here's the... No, I know you don't, but can they do that is what I'm saying.
Just say number 10. Your existing number 10 jersey, and we'll put a Drake May nameplate across the top.
You know, I think that's what they did with the Hernandez thing. They said, bring in your 81 jerseys. They didn't even use his name. So that's a good point. That's fair.
Now, the difference is, I think they'll probably assume people will just buy. There's no Patriots jerseys to buy right now. There just aren't. Like Matthew Judon, maybe. Christian Gonzalez, when he takes number 0, maybe.
And that's going to screw them up, too. I wonder if they do that for Christian Gonzalez jerseys.
Maybe. I mean, isn't there a, who does it? I don't know if it's Fanatics, maybe. I know one of the major retailers, Fanatics or Dick's, has jersey insurance for a year. If the guy changes his number or whatever, you can trade it in. But I'm assuming that as of about 8:50 on April 25th, there will be a Drake May pre-order jersey splash page on patriots.com pro shop, because they're gonna look to, and honestly maybe I'll buy my son one. He wants a jersey. He's got problems with Patriots jerseys. He doesn't have a lot of great ones. So
did you get him a Mac Jones jersey?
I don't believe he has a Mac Jones.
Wasn't he wearing a jersey when he came down this summer with us? Was it Judon?
Was his buddy
wearing one?
His buddy had a Mac Jones, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Because I believe his buddy, his dad, sent me a picture. He one kid had a Mac Jones jersey and one kid had a Jack Jones jersey. And they're both gone now.
That's pretty good.
But, maybe I'll get my son a Drake May jersey for his birth. Oh, his birthday's before the draft. Ah, poor kid. I'll have to wait till Christmas. I had other talking points before we got so derailed. And I know we're packing up minutes here. I did want to talk about my Gonzo Barmore Stevenson Pop jerseys, according to Pat Stats. The problem is, if you buy a Gonzo right now, the number could change. If you buy a Barmore right now, Mr. Chronic Knee Problems could be on a different team next year. If you buy a Stevenson, he could be on a different team next year. And
Pop just changed his number. He just changed his... He's going to number 3.
And, like, I like him, but I'm kind of hoping the receiver they draft in either the late first or second round this year is actually the star receiver. So
yeah, that's what I'm kind of worried about with Pop Douglas. And I got nothing against him. I think he's great. I think he can play in this league. But if they're going to continue to like retool this wide receiver room and they come across a stud slot receiver or a stud, you know, a number one, he's going to kind of be phased out of the offense and not be that go-to guy anymore. And I wonder what that does to, you know, his career trajectory too. I mean, of course you can split up the reps, but like, you know, the ball, you spray the ball all around the field, but there's probably going to be a different, you know, number one guy who's going to eat up those receptions. And I see Pat Stats in the chat too. Pop can't take the hits. Like, that's another thing you kind of have to worry about with DeMario Douglas. He had 2 concussions last year as a rookie and he's small. And yep. Like, as you know, we talked about it the other day, you can't teach height. You can't fix height. You said it.
They actually can, you know. There's like surgeries you can get. They stretch your bones.
Can you imagine DeMario Douglas came in at like 6'5 this year? Yeah, I had my bones stretched.
I'm guessing after you have that surgery, they are they don't allow you to step on an NFL football field.
Yeah, you just have to like walk everywhere. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, he has had two concussions the last year, and so that's something to watch too. There is an injury concern for him. So
that leads me to. So I mentioned it earlier. You had the beat media getting the Zoom calls with the new faces of free agency, and one in particular stood out to me. A guy that I think they should probably make the new team spokesman. And that would be very mediocre wide receiver, but good speaker, KJ Osborne, because he said grind like 100 times in various ways, kind of about himself, the team, like there were different implications. I think he could not have set a better tone. It was something that I believe Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo should probably watch and take a page out of. The way he basically was like, going to get to work, whether it's the team, the quarterback, whoever it is, the offense, the scheme, but also himself. Like he was talking about, you know, he played with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and TJ Hawkinson and all that. And now he hopes to have a bigger role, but he has no idea. He's a mediocre player on a mediocre offense that is going to have to work for whatever. I don't know how you took it, but I loved to me, his like grind should become like the team slogan for this year. And I know like it has like a negative connotation, like we're not that good. We got to grind. That's okay. You got to grind. You're a young team. You're a rebuilding team.
Right.
I love it.
I like it too. And I look at like, you know, the way you said it, like, you know, he's using that, you know, we got to work, we got to grind type thing. And they asked if like the quarterback situation went into his decision. And he said, yes, it did. And yes, I came here. And yes, I know this is going to be easy, but that's how the NFL works, basically, and I'm paraphrasing. But he's like, you know, you got to work for what you want. You got to grind. And he said he trusts their direction to quarterback, and he's confident that they're going to do the right thing. And I know you hate these, but he did post an Instagram story yesterday, and KJ Osborne's already back on the field, and he is already grinding. He's already back to work.
So I may have missed that. I saw one. You tell me if I saw what was out there or if there was more. I saw it was like edge of a field, the lights are on.
Yes.
Love this kind of thing.
Yes.
So he didn't actually put a video of him running like a.
So you're fine with that.
I love that. Love that. I know I'm being.
Yes, though. Now you're just being wishy washy about it. Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
He didn't have a film crew.
No, you like, but he made it. But he made it known that he was working out.
Nope. Yes. He just put a simple boom. He didn't do
I'm
the
here.
Whole effing, yeah, you're going to see every freaking thing but I do, and like film crew and social media crew and every
that's social media.
Stuck on that the rest of y'all. He did it the right way.
No, you're being wishy-washy because you like because you like KJ Osborne. And that's okay. That's
I actually don't think he's very good. I think he's a middling receiver.
So he's that's what he has been the last couple of years, but he's also been a three in Minnesota. He's been behind Justin Jefferson and, you know, Adam Thielen. He's behind
don't you think that Jordan gets Addison. Opportunities where you kind of don't have great bodies across from you because everybody's focused on everybody else?
Yes, but you also get a lot less reps. And I mean, you know, the counterpoint to that is, well, he's not better than Jordan Addison and Adam Thielen. And why are we adding this guy if we want improvement in the room? Because we already have threes in the room. Like this has already
he's
been
better than Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker and some of the bums this team has.
No, that's true. And again, I like it. I like him, and I like when they post things on social media. So I'm the anti-heart here.
Of course you do, because you get clicks out of it. You just like sabotage it, put it in, boom, 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 clicks. I just roll my eyes.
You caught me. See, yeah, that's that. You caught my like you said, the engagement farming is real. But no, did you also see that he has a really cute dog, Fat Larry?
Oh, I heard him talking about it. I haven't actually seen the dog. It's a bulldog, right?
Yeah, Fat Larry has an Instagram page. You should go follow it. He's Fat Larry seems pretty cool. And Chris Price asked him, and he is bringing him to New England. So maybe we can. We can get Fat Larry on the Six Rings podcast.
Uh-oh. Chris Price asked that question. Felger won't be happy.
I know he won't. I know he won't. Yeah.
Questions like that. Fat?
Yeah.
Right now.
Fat Larry.
Larry. Fat Larry. Oh, followed by Mike Giardi. That must be the one. He's got 2,000 followers. Mm-hmm. Oh, he had his third birthday.
Yeah.
His third birthday hat on.
Giardi follows him. I'm surprised Giardi. I feel like you and Giardi are the same, where you guys like hate fun,
but we love dogs.
That's true.
So there's Oh, yeah. And I also want a bulldog. It may be on my future dog
really?
List.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll talk to KJ Osborne about it.
But no, long story short on Osborne is I like the attitude. I think he's here to compete. He knows his role. He knows what the Patriots are doing. He's going to get an uptick in hopefully reps and then in the process production. So again, I like the signing. It's a cheap money deal. They obviously, it should not hinder them from adding to the room. It shouldn't hinder them from potentially making a trade. It shouldn't stop them from drafting two wide receivers in the draft if they want to. But he did put off a really good impression the other day. I would agree with you there.
How many, and I loved that. That's my big takeaway from KJ Osborne, regardless of what I think of him as a player, his role, his upside. And some of that will be determined by who's around him. Like if Kendrick Bourne is healthy, if they draft a guy and he's good, he's an impact, you know, he's not Puka Nacua because that's not fair, but if he's an impact rookie receiver, that'll affect it. And if not, that'll affect it. How many touchdowns will KJ Osborne have this year?
3.
So he'll match his number from last year, because if you took the SATs, you wouldn't guess 3, you'd guess 1, because 3 years ago he had 7. 3 years ago he had 7. 2 years ago he had 5. Last year he had 3. So next year he should have 1 based on SAT.
He had 7 touchdowns as a rookie or a second year?
Second year.
Wow.
7 touchdowns.
Good for him. Yeah, maybe he goes to 7. I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens. Again, I'm fine with the signing. You could fill a role, but I'm not jumping through hoops about it or anything.
Okay, as we start to wrap up this Patsbury edition of Six Rings Pod, anything else jump out from Austin Hooper or the other person who talked to the media, and I'm forgetting who it was?
Antonio Gibson, running back. Oh, yeah, Gibson.
I actually listened to his fully. He was fine.
Yeah, Gibson was fine. A guy who's going to, again, come in, and I like the signing with him, too. He's young. He can add to the room. He's a pass-catching back. He said he's going to compete, and he's going to push Ramondre Stevenson, which I liked. You know, he said he's not here to take a back seat, which that's the attitude you need. You know, if he came in and was like, yeah, I'm just going to rub Ramondre Stevenson's back and make sure that his cleats are warm, like, that's not what we want. We want a guy who's going to, you know, not only push Ramondre, but want to get on the field and make an impact. So I liked his attitude. And then Austin Hooper, what?
Will Antonio Gibson have more touchdowns or fumbles in 2024?
I'm going to go with touchdowns.
I would hope so, because last year he had more fumbles than touchdowns, and that's not good.
That's not good. That's not good. But yeah, maybe hone that in and figure it out. But liked his attitude. And then Austin Hooper did a lot of touting and talking about Alex Van Pelt, which I'm starting to like Van Pelt and that hire more and more. I really am. Like, what? What are you laughing at now?
Wow, his players are saying nice things about him, so I'm really starting to like that.
But like, hire. Yeah, for the, I mean, there's something to the players liking who's coaching. I mean, Matt Canada was an idiot in Pittsburgh. He stunk at calling an offense. His players hated him, and it got him fired. Like, you need a guy who's, you know, yes, X's and O's are important. They're the most important thing, but you know, there is something to enjoying coming to work and having relationships off the field. And, you know, I think the familiarity with Hooper, the familiarity with Jacoby Brissett, I think it's a good foundation to start building your offense on. And I'm not saying that Drake May shouldn't start week 4 if he's ready, right? But, you know, having these guys in the room and having, you know, professionals who have worked, you know, in this system before, it lays the groundwork for what you want to ultimately build it up to be. And so, liked what Hooper said, and I liked what he said about Alex Van Pelt too.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that they like him, but the reality is, if the offense stinks, then we're going to be ripping him by week 5. Week 4,
of course.
And that, you know, it's a results business, and
he told us to. He said, "If he stinks, rip me."
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see where that goes. I do think it's classic Cadillac, though. I'm really starting
Austin
to like
Hooper that. Told me, so yeah. But again, he's been around. He's been around him. I don't think if Austin Hooper didn't like Alex Van Pelt, A, I don't think he'd be here, but B, I don't think he'd just say it just to say it.
No, I mean, sometimes I do think people say things that they feel like they should, or there's no reason not to. Like, I don't think he dislikes, and I don't think there's a reason for Austin Hooper to have the discussions we've had. Like, why would he ever bring up with the media, like, you know what I'm really wondering? Can he call plays? He did it like once 15 years ago. Like, why would he bring that up? There's nothing good comes from that. So don't ever bring that up. Something I did want to bring up as we round down here and head towards an hour. I'm always amazed that we just start BSing about the Patriots and it's like an hour is gone. It's interesting.
That's what Pat's Parise for.
And I hope people enjoy listening to it. We've had an active chat. Some of it dealing with what we're talking about. Some of it just going off on its own.
Some of them, they're just fighting with each other, but that's okay.
Which is fine. We're a community. That's what we do in a community. We fight. I yelled at somebody I've never even seen his name before and called him the douche and wondered if he was it happens.
And then you asked him to go get a beer with you after.
And then I said, anytime you want to get a beer, happy to get a beer with you, bud.
Yeah.
So next up on my list is somebody that I happen to agree very much with. Somebody with a cool logo, actually. DJ Daniel is in the chat. And he says, and I don't know if you can put this on the screen, but Pats have put themselves in a position where they have to go 3-for-3 with 3 home runs in the first 3 rounds to avoid repeating being the worst team in the AFC. The chances of that are slim to none. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
The way free agency has played out or not really played out, it looks like you kind of need to hit on a quarterback, a left tackle, and a top pass catcher in your first 3 picks in some order. And that is borderline impossible, borderline ridiculous, borderline unprecedented. Which can happen.
Like you say the quarterback thing where there's, you know, everyone says there's not going to be 3 great quarterbacks, but what if there just are 3 great quarterbacks? You could hit on all 3. There's slim chances, but it could happen.
Correct. And anybody that wants a little bit of evidence from a Patriots perspective, go back to my Sunday 7, I believe last weekend, the weekend before, I kind of detailed some of these great drafts in Patriots history where you got 3 elite players, 3 or some of them I went with 2, like just comparing it to you got McCourty and Gronkowski in the first and second round. If you nail those 2, that changes your whole franchise. But even going back to like the Parcells mid-90s, they had ridiculous drafts in 95 and 96, I believe, were the 2 years back-to-back where they hit on first round, second round, third round. Curtis Martin is your third round pick, basically a Hall of Fame running back. And that came after, I think, Ty Law, Ted Johnson. Like, you can nail the hell out of picks. Now, is it likely? Probably not, which is why I am quite confident. And oh, that's my boy DJ Daniel. He knows Paul Perillo. That's cool. That I'm quite confident that the Patriots will be picking in the top 10 next year. Like, I feel really confident. No, almost no matter what they do, the Patriots will be picking. Their pick will be in the top 10 next year, which, by the way, means you could be better. You could advance from the 3rd overall pick to like the 9th pick or something.
Well, look, I think that's fine. Like,
this I think it's actually the best thing. I think the worst thing would be, this is weird because I'm Mr. Entertain Me, but I actually think the worst thing for long-term development might be like a stunning 500 record or whatever, where you're picking 19th, 20th, getting farther away from the, I think this is 2 years, 2 years of drafting, 2 years of free agency. First year of free agency, we didn't know it, but burn some cash actually meant sign a bunch of mediocre guys, sort of a quantity over quality approach.
And burn half the cash on guys that were already in the building, which was fine. Yeah.
Which I think will continue. My bet is that there will be or could be, I won't say will be, could be extensions for Stevenson and Barmore in the works along the way. Now, I don't think either will necessarily be easy. The price for running backs is always debatable, that value. Mm-hmm. And Barmore might just want to bet on himself and say, I'm going to stay healthy and get like Aaron F. and Donald money or the guy's name I can't say for the Ravens, like D tackles, Chris Jones, like you can get big money on that D line market. But I do think that's part of it. But they're going to have $100 million next spring, somewhere in that range. I think right now it's actually like $150 million on the books. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to roll over money too. That's the other thing. When Elliott Wolf said save money, we should have listened. I think he's going to roll over salary cap dollars.
And again, this is me maybe carrying the water a little bit, but like, the free agent class, when you look at it this year, like there were moves that they missed out on. Like, I would have paid Tyron Smith. I would have paid Jonah Williams. And I'm glad they were in on Calvin Ridley. But like, the receiver market was kind of shot after Higgins and Evans and Pittman went back. Like, I wouldn't have just shelled out money just to shell out money. They made smart moves that they thought were smart. Look, let's at least give them a chance and separate them from the Belichick regime, because everyone wants to keep, you know, saying it's the same exact thing. Like, let's give them the opportunity. Like you said, it will roll over. They'll be able to use it next year. And then hopefully next year's class is better, or they can use the money to, you know, retain the good players that they have here so far. So my whole thing is just give them a chance to, you know, run the operation on their own before we, you know, jump down their throat already.
Okay, so anything you want to throw in as we wind down the final minutes? We need to stay under an hour. That's the rule on a Pats Puri. You can't be rambling on a Pats Puri. So any last Mike Cadlick social media tidbits, look ahead, look back, news notes, anecdotes?
Man, I don't think so. I think we hit it all. Like you said, we kind of did ramble on a little bit. We're just under an hour, but we're getting into the swing of things here for sure. It's ending near the ending, the end of March. We're into, you know, the real draft season, mock drafts, pro days. So, keep it locked into Six Rings. We'll be back, you know, checking out everything. Follow us on Twitter, Six Rings Pod, all over the socials, and, subscribe to the show, and we'll keep you updated with all the, like you said, the social medias, the Pats Puri, the things going on. And, yeah, one thing I will add is Drake May should be the answer. I agree with you. Drake May should be the answer. Quarterback.
And the other thing that's definitive is if you want all of the social media mayhem, make sure you follow at Mike Cadlick, because he is, I think, the quickest and the best in the business at whatever that is called. What'd you say? Engagement farming.
Like, yeah.
Repurposing. If you don't have to follow 6,000 players and 6,000 people, just follow Mike Cadlick and he'll get it to your eyeballs if you need it. That's the way I look at it. Yeah. I don't need to like follow all that. Like, I got a young gun who knows how to do that stuff faster than anybody in the business. So if a player sneezes, or if there's a video where some idiot in the background yells QB1 when Bailey Zappi stands up, I'll get to watch
that. Actually wasn't me. I didn't pull that one, but I did hear that. That was kind of that was funny.
Yeah, QB1. I mean, at that table, I guess, at that specific moment in time at that dinner table. But otherwise, no, he's not. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this Pats Puri edition. We talked J.J. McCarthy. That's Jonathan James for friends and family. We talked Drake May. We ripped a couple listeners who had questions, and unfortunately, I went off on them. I apologize, but then we made up in the end. We may grab a beer someday, Chris. We did the mailbag. We did everything. And now we move one step closer to the biggest draft, the most important draft, according to Robert Kraft, in the history of his ownership. And I think we all agree. And now you and I, at least, agree on Drake May. I think Phil Perry has come in. I think Mike Giardi, our pal, has come in. So
we got Giardi on the May train. Let's go.
You know what this all sets us up for? He goes number two to Washington, and we're all pissed off.
Yeah. And then Jaden Daniels comes in, and we're like, oh, you're not Drake May.
Yeah, we wanted Drake May. Yeah. Anyway. He's Mike Cadlick. I'm Andy Jumbo Hart. This has been Six Rings and Football Things, Pats Puri edition, brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. And is there any better time for you to probably get a FanDuel account if you haven't already than the NCAA tournament, where upsets are happening? I'm finding out that Oakland is not only upsetting Kentucky, but they're not even in Oakland, California. They're a Michigan school, and they're not a Cinderella. So,
I may have bet on Kentucky yesterday, so that sucked. But
well, that was dumb. Yeah, you shouldn't have. They're 1-4 in their last 5 NCAA
tournaments. Calipari does this. It's ridiculous. But here we are. It's day 2. Let's go.
All right. He's Mike Cadlick. I'm Andy Hart. This has been Patriots Pats Puri for the Six Rings podcast. Tune in next week. We will be talking about the cornerbacks, by the way, on the weekly prospect podcast. And we will have another edition of a traditional Six Rings podcast next week. So enjoy your weekend, or if it is the weekend, I hope you're enjoying your weekend, or if it's Monday, I hope you had a good weekend, because this is a podcast and I never know when you're going to listen. See ya.
Bye.